John's Gospel, chapter number 8 and verse 32. Jesus is talking, and the people he's talking to are just not getting it, all right? They're just not getting the whole situation. So this is what he says to them, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." This, as I've told you many, many times, is one of the top five most misquoted verses of Scripture in the Bible, because I hear people all the time say, "The truth will set you free." Actually, the Bible does not say that. If you notice the word in the original text or the King James Version, the word is "make." There's a difference between "make" and "set." If I set my dog loose on from the chain, I set him free, I can catch him and put him back in captivity. Okay? This right here, Jesus, is a creative word. He makes us free. And so, we're not going to turn there, but go down to verse 36, Jonah. Drop down to verse 36, John 8, 36. I believe I'm correct on that. Yes. "If therefore the Son," Jesus, "if Jesus therefore makes you free, you are free indeed." In other words, if he does it, he gets it done right. He won't have to do it 56 times. There may be some other issues in your life you need God to, and I'm going to talk about that. There may be some other issues in your life, you know, Martha, that we need to be set free from. But that inner eternal spirit of bondage to sin and unbelief and going to hell when you die, Jesus snips that kite and lets it go, honey, and it'll never be hooked back to you. That ship won't ever sail again because you belong to Jesus at that point. Because if Jesus, therefore, makes you free, notice the word again, makes you free, ye shall be free indeed. Give Jesus Christ a hand clap if you would, please. Now I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20. Paul is writing to a group of people that have been born again, all right? They're saved. And Paul is writing to them, and they're having a discussion about faith and law, works and grace, and you should read the book of Romans sometime, especially chapter 3, 4, and 5. All right, here in this chapter, he says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." In other words, the law came to show us that we had offended, we had broken the law of God. The law was never intended to save us. It was to give us a revelation. Paul wrote in Galatians that it's a schoolmaster to teach us that we need Jesus. We can't do this, all right? "Moreover, the law entered that offense may abound, but where sin abounded," where there was lots of sin, "grace did much more abound." In other words, God's grace put up on the scale with your sin, his grace is much heavier, much more powerful than your sin. It's faster than your sin. Grace will outrun sin every day in your life if you yield yourself and say, "Thank God I'm saved by the grace of God." You understand what I'm saying? And so I'm very happy about that. No matter what happens, when that devil gets after you, read it to him. If you can't think of nothing to say, just read Romans 5 to him. Just walk around the house out loud and say, "Well, folks come think I'm crazy. They already think that anyway, baby. Quit worrying about what they think, okay?" Them thinking whatever about you, pro or con, is not going to get the devil up out of your place messing with you. You understand what I'm saying? So you need to just like get on past that. We get on past it and read the Word of God. If you're not able to read the Word of God, just walk around through the house. About the lady, she was so depressed for a year, she didn't get out of bed for one whole year except on necessity. She has two children. One's named Paul, one's Matt. Paul's 12, Matt's 8. It's been a year. I can't remember what the dish was. I believe it was macaroni and cheese, but I can't remember what it was. And he said, "Mama, was it macaroni and cheese?"
They're
said,
8 and 12 too,
yeah. They are 8 and 12. Come here, boys. Come here, boys. Thank you, Matthew. I'm going to tell you her name in a minute. You'll all know her. Just stand right here with me. Come over here. Paul Jr. and Matthew was their names. Mama was so depressed she didn't get out of bed for a year. I think he wanted macaroni and cheese. I believe it was macaroni and cheese. And he said, "Mama, will you make me some macaroni and cheese?" And Paul Jr. was 12, but he could cook. And he said, "Mama, his macaroni and cheese don't taste like your macaroni and cheese." Mama got up out of bed the next day, so depressed she wanted to die. But she walked around the house for 3 hours and said, "Jesus," because that's all Lynn she could get out. "Jesus, Jesus," 3 hours. Her name was Jan Crouch, the founder of TBN. So I thought they just had it made. Yeah, buddy. They're both in heaven now. They got it made now, Paul and Jan are. And after 3 hours of saying Jesus, Jesus showed up. Just give him a little time, like Mary and Martha at the grave. Lazarus was dead, but he only stayed dead till Jesus got there. All right? Now, another little thing about macaroni and cheese. I had him one day, just me and him, babysitting him. I don't know how, dear God, that worked out. But anyway, it was just me and old John Scott. He said, "Big, I want some macaroni and cheese." And so we went to the snack room, and I said, "Here we go." I grabbed a yellow box. He said, "Big, I need the blue box." I said, "This is macaroni and cheese." He said, "No, it's not." He said, "My mama's got." He said, "I need to go home right now. My mama has something in the blue box." So kids got to have that macaroni and cheese right, all right? I can't say nothing about them. Don't bring me no bread. It's in some other pack besides yellow with a girl with the pigtail. Don't bring me that other bread. You know what I'm saying? It's got to have sunbeam wrote on it. It's got to be in a yellow pack. Got to have the girl on it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, that's kind of, don't bring all the other stuff. It stinks and something's wrong with it, all right? And yes, thank you. I know white bread's not healthy for you. Well, that's healthy for me. It gives me peace, okay? All right? So I got to have my bread in a yellow pack. John Scott's got to have his macaroni in the blue box, all right? So if you cook him any macaroni, don't show him the box, but he'll probably already know, okay? Give my grandsons a hand clap. Love you, boys. So if you need Jesus, you just call his name, and I promise you he will show up because his grace will outrun whatever's wrong with you. Go with me now to a very popular passage of Scripture, Psalm 91 and verse number 1. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide under the shadow. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty." Psalm 91, 1. Yes, verse 2 now, Jonah, please. Verse 2, "I will say of the Lord." This is your decision. "I will say of the Lord." I don't care what year it is. "I will say of the Lord." I will say of the Lord. That's you. "I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In him will I trust." I don't care what year it is. I don't care what the calendar says. God's in charge of your life. So say that right there. Verse number 3, Jonah, please. "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." All right, snare. I want you to think on that word for just one moment. Just think on that word for one moment. Now, let me tell you what a snare is. A snare is a string or wire or whatever. You can buy them already pre-built at the co-op. And you pull it out and you set it. And I've actually caught varmints in it. I caught a beaver in one. And beavers are smart and hard to catch, all right? And so anyway, a snare, once you go through that snare, that loop, it's got a little catch thing on it. And the harder you pull, Matthew, the tighter it pulls down on you. The harder you fight it, the worse it gets. What are you fighting today? And who's winning? Let that just drop, okay? Let that just drop. One more passage of Scripture, Jonah. Go with me to Psalm 124 and verse 7. Let's read this verse. "Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped." I want to preach to you for the next 5 minutes on the snare is broken. Say that with me. The snare is broken and we are escaped. The snare is broken and we are escaped. One more time. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Because the harder you fight, the tighter you're getting. And this year has been designed, unfortunately, by our enemy, no matter what, to tire us out. All right? But we need strength from God, and we need God's peace and power, because the snare has been broken by the blood and the grace of Jesus Christ. It cannot hold you, whatever you're fighting today. God said, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," Philippians 4:13. So trust him, believe him. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, he is my God. In him will I trust." Psalm 91 and verse number 2. Open that mouth and say it. If you can't memorize it, write it on your hand. If you can't do that, put it on, it's on your phone. There's millions of Bible apps. So "I will say of the Lord." When I was about 12 and really, really dumb, me and my cousin Dorman, Rudy's baby brother, There was a pond across the road from the house. It's still there. There was a trot line in that pond, went all the way across it. And on the highway side, or the dirt road side at the time, where I lived, of the pond, it was across the road from the house, but on this side of the pond, it was tied to a big gum tree, Ronnie, that was leaning out over the pond, and just simply because of the way the pond was built and had washed away, it was about a 10-foot drop from the root system of that gum tree down to the water. Pond was deep. It was a trot line. It was tucked to the bottom. It had some heavy, it had a concrete block on it. Well, the redneck I am, it was wiggling. So I said, well, I'm going to see what's on this trot line, Norman. Norman is standing over here, and I walked through the woods, and he said, Lord God, you can't get there. I said, oh, I can get there. You just stay right here. So I wiggled my way around through the woods. Jonathan, I got up, and I leaned my chest. Thank you, God. I leaned my chest against that gum tree. Do not do this, children. You understand what I'm telling you? Do not do this. And so I reached and caught that, Ronnie. And I felt, I said, Lord God, it's got some kind of, it's got megalodon on it. I mean, it had a big one. It was so heavy. You know what I'm saying? And so I started pulling. It's amazing how deep that pond was and how long that trot line was. But I was determined, bless God, I'm going to see what's on this. Well, about time I got it to the top of the water, Rudy, I saw it was a concrete block, and I was mighty depressed. You understand what I'm talking about? I don't know how I was going to get out there and get that fish off that trot line, but bless God, I was trying. It was a concrete block. So I just turned it loose. Thank God that I was still leaned up against that gum tree out over the water. Because one of those hooks, yeah, it caught right there, went down under that thumbnail. I had a problem.
Yes.
I had a bad problem. Because my arm, that's why this arm is longer than this arm. You understand what I'm saying? Because it was out yonder. And I was hollering for Dorman, and Dorman didn't know what was going on. And I was hollering and screaming. So I had to pull that trot line back up. Okay? Get a hold to it and get that hook out. Now, I see something about the faint, so I won't go no further. But you get the general idea, all right? Thank God, when I got that joker out, you know what I did? One little hook at a time, I let it go back. I didn't. There's some mistakes you can make that you don't ever forget. You don't ever do them again. There's some mistakes you make, and you tell yourself, God, I know better to do this, and I did it anyway. Can I get an amen? All right. You just got to be stupid that day just to realize how human you are, all right? And so, or I should say myself, I know none of y'all would do nothing like that. Anyway, so I left that trot line. That's the last trot line that I checked like that. You're supposed to check them in a boat, by the way. You need to get you a boat and check trot lines. The snare has been broken. So whatever's holding you and draining the life out of you, just give it to God today. Get one of these prayers right here if you don't want to pray. This has got enough scripture in it to cover everything in the Bible and everything in your life, all right? Just get it. If you don't want to pray, just read it all through the day. It's actually online somewhere with me read it to you in video form, all right? So read and stand on the Word of God. Now, one last passage of scripture. Go with me to Psalm 41. Yes, Psalm 41 and verse 1. Now this is for you as a church and me, as your pastor and us as individuals. Because you participate in reaching out, starting here, out those doors, in this county, this city, this state, this nation, and around the world. We help those that are in this verse of scripture. Notice what the Bible says. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. Poor is somebody that needs something. Doesn't necessarily mean they don't have money, but money can't fix everything, all right? Blessed is he that considereth the poor, person has need. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. I could say and not hurt the scriptures at all. The Lord will deliver him when he fools around and gets in a snare and he's yanking on it and it's getting tight and it's pulling down. And so if you participate in this church here, money in this church, whether it be in that jug, whether it be in the offering plates, whether it be toys yesterday, whatever it is, money that goes to India, money that goes to St. Jude's, money that goes to Gideon's, money that goes to Crisis Pregnancy Center. I mean, this church reaches out to all areas in this world where there is need. Regularly, God has blessed. Brother Scott said, that's a lot of money. I don't have no idea. I never even asked Martha where it comes from because God's the one providing it anyway, all right? And everything in spite of this COVID year, everything has been done. Yeah. This is the 12th month of this year, and not one thing has been missed, and not one person that we help around this world, whether it be ministry, whether it be across the street, not one has missed anything. And I'm going to tell you why. Because God's put it in the checking account because of this verse right here, verse number 2. There's 3 verses that God says what He will do for you if you'll reach out and help people. So claim this today. Mark it in your Bible. Read it. And whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, whatever snare is pulling you down and draining the life out of you, read this to God. Say, now, God, I bought a toy for a needy child. The Lord will preserve you, keep you alive. How many would have been, should have been, could have been dead if it had not been for God taking care of you? You understand what I'm saying? That trot line situation for me is just one of many that I should have been snatched out of the land of the living. But God had a purpose for my life. You have a purpose or you wouldn't be here today. And so God's kept us alive for such a day as this. And shall he be blessed? That's you up on the earth, not in heaven. Okay, we're going to be blessed in heaven. But this right here is on the earth. It's on all 3 screens. It's in every one of your Bibles. God will bless you here and now, all right? And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Everybody say amen. Amen. Whatever those enemies may be, they may be people, they may be friends, they may be family, they may be neighbors, but they don't have to be that. They can be financial issues, marital, just any kind of issue that just drains the life out of you, okay? That's trying to pull you down so you can't bless people. And so you can't be blessed yourself. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Verse number 3. This is the promise to the people that give to the needy. The Lord will strengthen him up with his bed of languishing. If you get sick and you get down, God will send you some help and send you some strength. Thou will not make all his bed in his sickness. In other words, God will change things, all right? And so if you're going through a hard time, the snare's got you, read these verses right here and say, now, Lord, God, you said this. I do it all the time. Not disrespectful, but I can read you places where God says, call me to witness on, prove me. Remember about the tithes. God said, tithe and prove me. See if I won't bless you. We can turn and read it. We're not going to because you've heard me read it and talk about it. But God says, if you give and tithe, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. I will bless the fruit of your vine, your children, your grandchildren. I will bless you with so much. I'll open heaven above you and pour out so much on you, you ain't got room to receive it. Okay? Because God said, if you'll do these things, I will do these things. It's called covenant relationship. So if you give to the poor and the needy, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make him in all his bed of sickness. So there's God going to be with you in trouble. There's God going to take care of you and keep you alive. All right? So trust God for the word of God because the snare is broken. I got the trot line hook out. Okay? Let it go back to where it belongs. The moral of that story is don't be sticking your hand in places that ain't got no business being. Amen. Now I can break that on down. I ain't talking about trot lines now. Okay? Let me break it on down. If you are a married man, don't be touching another married woman. Is that... y'all got it? Can I just stop or I need to go on? Y'all got it? We'll put your money to good use. But if you put 10% tithe in this offering plate, and then you go buy a crack rock with the other 90%, going to be a little situation right there. You know what I'm saying? I'm afraid that 90% crack rock is going to overrule that 10% black. Are y'all with me? Yes. Sometimes we just have to make it real. Don't rule out. I mean, God's trying to bless you. Let him. Why don't we just decide today, you know, God, I think I'm going to just let you bless me. I'm going to quit doing all these sins, whooping folks at Walmart and stuff like that. All right? You understand me? Y'all didn't know somebody sent me that video. Y'all, anyway, that never mind. So. Say it with me again. The snare is broken, and I am escaped. You're going to have to get in the Word of God, okay? Because this will only work if you put this in the mix. So you're going to have to get this and your faith all up in amongst you and your snares, whatever they are, whatever's got you. And now there's some situations, and I feel that I have to say this today for somebody. There's something that's draining you, and you it's not possible because of what it is that you can cut that kite and let it fly. You can't cut bait and walk away. You understand what I'm saying? There's some situation. So what happens then? You're going to have to kick into where Paul prayed about his thorn in the flesh 3 times. And God said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. You're going to lean on Him, because some problems are not that easily solved, or they're not that easy. Some of them you can't walk away from because of the unique situation, whatever it may be in your life, and you know that. And so you're going to have to find that grace that Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 9. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, today I speak a blessing over God's house. I speak a blessing, everybody involved with this church, this ministry. I speak a blessing over them today. May you smile upon them, Lord. Let the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ, let that be what rules their life. And I pray, God, you'd help us make a way where there is no way. Isaiah 40 and verse 4, you said you'd make the crooked road straight. You'd fill in the holes and the valleys. You'd knock down the mountains. You said you'd make it even smooth. So, Lord, we claim that today. I've just read the promised blessing to those that reach out to those that have need. Lord, we do that at this church. Everybody involved here does that. And so, Lord, we claim this promise today. You said in this verse 2, you said you'd deliver us from trouble. You'd break those snares. So, Lord, help us to relax in you and let that snare, let Jesus just snip it and let it go. Cut bait and walk away. Now, Father, I pray that you'd bless God's house. Bless all the people and children that we will bless during this season. And, Lord, we pray today in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen.